Hello, welcome to another episode of Family Twist, where we unravel the intricate and often unexpected stories of family, identity, and personal discovery. I'm Corey, and along with my partner Kendall, we dive into a narrative that's really wild and as unique as they come with today's guest. Imagine growing up feeling distinctly out of place in your own family, towering over your relatives with unanswered questions swirling around you. Our guest, Lauren, brings humor to her journey of self-discovery, from suspecting she's a Viking to facing the bewildering world of DNA tests. As we gear up for the Untangling Our Roots conference, where Kendall will be speaking and Lauren will be lighting up the room with her Misfit Variety show, we're reminded of the power of comedy to connect and heal. Expect some explicit content, because when you're dealing with a comedian, there are no filters. And remember, the truth is often stranger and funnier than fiction. Hey, Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having
me. Of course, yeah. No, we're excited, just because we were excited to hear your story. And you and Kendall will get to meet in person in April for the Untangling Our Roots conference, which he will be on one of the panels, and you'll be like providing the wild and wacky entertainment, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a Misfit Variety show, Ancestry.comedy edition, open mic, and I'll be emceeing that and also doing some bits from the show as well.
Awesome. That's going to be great. So before we get into your comedy, which I definitely want to talk about because we're huge comedy fans over here, love to hear a little bit about your donor conception history.
Well, you know, I never knew, but I knew something was up, but then you don't know. I was basically gaslit for my whole life, because I didn't look like my family at all, like in such an extreme way. Because, like, as we know, like back in the day, they weren't like sorting through a catalog. They just like walked into the doctor's office and got jizz from whatever med student who needed $20. Mm-hmm. So by random chance, they ended up a tall, fair English sperm, and I am and they are short, little, like dark little Italians. So I was like super extreme. I was like skipping around like Will Ferrell and Elf amongst the little Lilliputians. My feet were hanging off the bed. My clothes didn't fit because they didn't understand that someone was taller. Like, my mom couldn't conceive in her head that how tall I was. I, you know, up until a few years ago, I never had sleeves for a jacket that came down to my wrist. Like, I didn't understand.
It was a weird concept.
What that meant. So, and then I was like, I'd always ask, because people would be like, oh, is she adopted? You know, like, is she the au pair? You know, no one understood. I'm just kidding. No one knew what au pairs were. That was Queens. But
were you an only child?
That's it. I had three others, because what happened, this is why no one could figure it out, because it was like, well, my mom was pregnant, and like, she's too boring to cuckold my dad, unfortunately, like nothing exciting. And so we're like, what could it be? And like, they had three other kids who look exactly like them, and short little dark Italians, very different genes, like academically, like so different. And intellectually and just socially. So, and I would always ask, and they would just be like, it's all in your head, basically. And then my grandfather got worried that my grandfather was worried that I wouldn't feel like part of the family. So this is a guy who like never graduated high school, off the boat from Sicily. He went to the library like an MIT research scientist and came back with one historical fact to explain me. And he was like, Lauren, okay. Because he didn't know about the sperm donation, by the way. No one knew. It's a huge secret. So he didn't know. So he was just trying to make me feel better. And he was like, okay, Lauren, this is how you came to be. The Vikings invaded Sicily. So I'm walking around like a fucking moron telling everyone, I'm a fucking Viking. I like was in Bergen and I'm sitting there like, oh, my Viking roots, like a fucking idiot. Anyway. I don't need to tell you guys, this is not, we jest, but it's not great for my mental health and my self-esteem.
So how did you did you take a DNA test? Is that how you found out?
That's how I found, so it was like, I didn't know what it was. And as soon as someone mentioned it, I like ran and got it. But however, I didn't understand the results. And in fact, I put them on Facebook because I thought it was such a joke. I was like, look at this. I guess I really am adopted. Ha ha ha. Because my mine was from England and Northern Italy, and my brothers were from Sicily and Greece. And my mom was in the comments being like, You know, end this shit now.
Oh, okay.
Like, stop it. You are mine. Stop this stuff. You know, guilting me. Like, I'm doing something wrong because I'm hot on the trail. So it didn't like, and I was like, anyway, this is not accurate, right? This is a bunch of bullshit. So then I didn't understand it. So I like went away. I like 3 years passed by and then I'm in Mount Kenya and I'm sitting across from a PhD in genetics. And I was told him about it. And he was like, siblings are different, but not by that much. And so I came back. Now, this is where it gets crazy.
Oh, this is where it gets crazy.
Oh, okay.
This is where it gets even crazier. You guys want this? You want the strat? I can give you the, Anna, I can give you the three sentence, or if you want shit.
We're all about the crazy shit.
Okay, we'll get through the crazy. So I come back, right? And I'm starting to, look, COVID is starting to come. This thing called COVID. We hear it, we're like, oh, what a bunch of bullshit. This is never going to be anything. Everyone's always exaggerating. So this is like the kind of like the mindset we're in, you know, disaster's about to come, but we don't know it. And then I go to my mom's house when I'm just starting to figure this out. And she gives me a picture of my godfather. And I'm thinking he is tall and fair. And they stopped talking to him when I was 7. So I was like, maybe this is the guy. She's trying to tell me like covertly, like this is it. So we go home. I go home. And then I go on to ancestry.com and I call my brother. And I was like, all right, you pull up your matches. And I was like, do you see mom's cousins? He's like, I see mom's cousins. I was like, do you see dad's cousins? He's like, yeah, right here. I was like, oh, fuck. So then I go and look it up. And it was, I didn't, it said very plainly, like, I look up my cousin, my dad's cousin, and it says, not related. So then I knew my dad wasn't my dad. So then I was like, well, it must be my godfather. And I was like, so convinced it was him. And then I started looking him up. I FedExed him a letter that was like, hi, you know, has been a, you know, it's been decades, but wanted to say hi, and was super convinced. And I was asking all of these random DNA matches, like, do you know this guy named John Matyshka? And people were like, no, we don't know. We don't really know how you're related to us. And then I called ancestry.com because I was like, I don't understand who all these people are that are close matches. I don't get, what is this? And they were like ready with de-escalation techniques. They're like, as you guys know, they're just like, we understand the results must be surprising to you. And like, that's how many spots are being blown up that they have drained them. They're dealing with crazy people. People who are fucking nuts, going nuts.
Right. Yes, it is.
And so she's like, listen, we do that for safety, but for sure, those are your siblings. And I was like, 15? What? So then we all go into a Facebook group and we're like, I'm like, maybe. And one of them said, we're in this Facebook chat. And one of them was like, you know, they told me, the doctor told my mom, like, it was a sperm donor when it was a med student and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, sperm donor. Okay. Maybe my godfather was the sperm donor. And the doctor said med student, but I figured he probably... So I always said that.
Right.
And I'm like, my godfather, you know, broke Brooklyn guy. He needed some cash. Made checks out to me. So I was super convinced on that. But then I had one sibling who took it at face value. And he started asking second and first cousins, did you have a med student in the family in New York during these years in Brooklyn? And one person's like, yeah, but give me a minute. She comes back with a name. So we got the name, and then he noticed that there was an obituary attached to another cousin. So the obituary lists the entire family line. And so we knew his name, and then we found his daughter, found her on Facebook, scroll down 5 seconds later, and we have her wedding pictures, and then we have pictures of our genetic father. Wow. So New York is about to close because now COVID's a real thing. And I'm like, I got to hear this from my mother's mouth. So I'm driving through the abandoned New York City streets, not knowing if I'm like, if I don't go now, I might not be, I don't know when I'm going to be able to drive to New York again. I was like hiding out in Jersey at the time. So I drive to Long Island where my mom was. And what also had happened during this is that this new sibling I had looked on Facebook and he's like, wow, Lauren and I have a common friend. So he calls common friend, who was his deceased mother's best friend. And he's like, well, how do we both know Lauren? And she's like, oh, Because, you know, your mother was my best friend, but I have two best friends. And the other one is Lauren's mom. So he was like, so I think maybe we should just not talk about this until we figure this out. Let's just keep this between us. Hangs up. Now, realizing that the reason why his mom never told her is because she has the biggest mouth on the planet. So she hangs up and calls my mom immediately and tells her everything. So when my mom answers the door, she knows that I know that I know that she knows that I know. It's like was so – and so she's like trying to chatter away and try to like fill up all the air and not wanted to bring it up and finally had to say, Mom, I did a DNA test. Charles and I, my brother, figured it out. We know. And she was like, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm leaving. I'm like, where are you going to go? With COVID? Like, where are you going? And fine. And she goes into the kitchen. She's like angrily doing dishes, so pissed. And I was like, I finally had to make, I had to break the tension, which is just what I always do by making her laugh. And I told her something that we had found out in all of this research. And I said, Mom, well, the silver lining to all of this is I am potentially related to Princess Diana. And she all of a sudden was like, what? And she kind of like relaxed. And then I told her like everything I knew. And she was like, told me, you know, she would confirm stuff. And make, she was like, listen, we didn't think we'd get kids. We thought this was our one shot, so to speak. And that's how it happened. And we never told a soul. No one ever knew. And I was like, when were you going to tell me? And she's like, not until my dying breath. I was like, okay. And I was like, I asked Dad once. I asked Dad. I got a letter actually, like crazy enough. I got a letter saying, we're looking for our adopted daughter who was female, born in the same hospital as you on the same day. And I brought it to my dad. And I was like, Dad, maybe I was switched at birth and the wrong person was adopted. And he's like, put that fucking thing away. I don't want to hear about it again. And I'm like, why didn't he tell me, Mom? Why didn't he tell me? And she's like, because I would have put a knife to his throat. That's why. Like,
you know, wow.
So that's. So,
jeez.
So that's how it happened.
Who broke it to your brothers?
I told them because my brother Charles and I were figuring it out. And then we, you know, we kind of like, you know, there's four, you know, we're like a clan. So we brought in my sister, we told her, and she was just like shocked and like had a few tears come down, but then also like relieved because now we know. And then she was joking like, oh man, you're not technically related to these people. I don't like them. My dad's like, fuck, I wish I was. So she was like laughing about that. But then, so... And then my other brother, we told him, and it just was like, because it's like so obvious that something is up that like we never, it's just like, just tell us. Now, no one cares, but the shame that they've put on people for decades, it's so sad.
Yes, it is. Just to think that your mother felt so strong, well, and your father felt so strongly that they needed to keep it, you know, such a secret. It's just sad for them.
Like it was negative on my dad. And then my mom felt too, like she had a miscarriage before me. And she was like, oh, that was my fault. And so I almost felt like she was punished. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just like, you know, that she blames it on herself. And it's like, those are the natural things that people like do think, but they had their support groups and podcasts and books and therapists now that can help you through that. But there was nothing. They just blamed it on themselves and like, moved on, hating themselves. So
and ignore
sad.
Their Viking tall daughter. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know.
They're just like, well, we're gaslighting you for a few decades, but hey.
Have you reached out to your potential cousin, Harry?
Harry, I kind of want to fuck with him. I kind of want to, like, because it's like kind of like, you know, it's like, you know, these are potential connections, right? But it's still like, wow. I might have some pretty like aristocratic genes like from far back, but I'm like, it's too late to claim that. I've already been imprinted with Queen's Italian, you know, like it's just too late. So, but I kind of want to like fuck with him and like knock on his door and be like, hello, it's your cousin from Queens.
I love it.
That's great. Oh my goodness. So how did humor sort of play into you feeling different your whole life?
Humor. Well, you know, I never, well, I was kind of the joke for a long time, so it was hard to do the joke. I always knew I wanted to like communicate what was happening around me. And I think that was because I can't believe it myself. Like, it was a way to heal. Like, this is happening. Everyone's telling me I'm crazy. Like, please someone, because when you would tell a story, it would be, people would give you that reaction of like, what was really happening, you know, like be able to communicate. And also like, see, I mean, in an Italian family, like people are funny. Like there's a lot of humor, not always nice humor, but they're not always nice. But, you know, humor is used to like bring people together. And so I took that lesson from it and then felt the power of that as I started talking about this. And people come up to me after the show and tell me, or during the show, that happens a lot, where I start just talking about it. And then I notice someone go, right, like whisper to their people. And I say, what happened? What trauma did I provoke? And then they tell, like, they'll something like, yeah, I did a DNA test and blah, 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 blah.
That's probably super therapeutic for them at that moment in time. Yeah.
And the audience loves it because they feel like they're part of something real. And like, everyone's walking around with hurt and secrets and of many kinds. I mean, of family drama, this is one type of many. So it's therapeutic to watch other people make
it
public. It's true.
Well, you know, it's like you're kind of helping to build the community in that setting. Honestly, I think that matters a lot. I mean, I wish when I was 6 years ago, when I found my biological family, I wish I had some sort of moment like that to be able to, you know, spew.
We talk about nature versus nurture a lot on the show. Are there funny people in your pod?
The newly discovered family? No one is like...
outwardly.
No one is like an entertainer in my... It's interesting, but then I get my curiosity and my like love of reading and learning from them, for sure. I think I might get it. You know, my dad is maybe one of the best with I've never seen anyone as good as with metaphor as him. Yeah. He's incredible. He's incredible. I mean, he would need to learn how to craft comedy for the stage. Like, he thinks he's freaking Don Rickles. And I'm like, bro. Like, entertaining a dinner table is not the same. But you have some talent that could be crafted. Right. You know, like, let's be honest. But so I think I do get some of my, but I think the earnestness comes, like, my earnestness comes from... Like I'm pretty, people describe what anything I do as heartwarmingly irreverent. And so I'm very, like, I'll say some pretty hard things or reverent things, but like I'll joke about my dad's balls and things like that and contemplate if he loves me, you know, love that I wouldn't exist. Anyway, right, things like that.
Sure.
but I do it from, I never want anyone to feel bad. So that's where I'm different. The irreverent comes from my Italian side, but the not wanting people to feel bad, I feel like, is from my Spencer side.
Spencer. Yes. So it's the combination of nature versus nurture that makes up the comedy of Lauren.
I think so. Now that we analyze, I've never been asked this. This is interesting.
We are halfway through this roller coaster of an episode. If you're enjoying Lauren's incredible story and finding comfort, laughter, or even just a sense of camaraderie in the bizarre twists of life, we'd love your support. Hit subscribe, leave us a review, and share this episode with friends who might appreciate the beauty in life's unexpected turns. Your engagement helps us keep bringing these stories to light, and who knows, maybe you'll help someone discover a part of themselves they've been searching for. Stay with us for the second half. You don't want to miss what's coming up next with Lauren.
We reopened Pandora's box a lot on this show, and we don't know how to close it.
Yeah,
apologies to the fans.
Okay, but I will say this, and I don't know how to, maybe we can, you could help me understand how to even like talk about this. The thing that I wish, I don't know how to communicate it, that, okay, you, it's called genealogical bewilderment. It's a thing that's debated, but I feel it hard. Like, I didn't know what I look like until I met my biological father. And I almost, because you like create your, for people who don't know about this, is like, if you don't know where you come from, you can't create in your mind the image of yourself. because you don't know where you're from or who to bounce it on. You're creating images based on people you look at. So mine was like a little like Italian, you know, and I, you know, never knew my body in space. I would bang my head on a lot of things because I thought I was older. Even buying myself the wrong clothes. I was buying myself clothes that were too small. Then I like met my biological father and I met his eyes and it was the happiest moment of my life. As I was like, I know where I come from now. And I like felt my body in space. It was almost like one of those cartoons, you know, like where like the color becomes, the black and white becomes color. And I know what, and I know what, I stood next to him. I have the same body type. And we're both like, actually, I could say my humor, the irreverent a little bit comes from Jim because he says things that are just like off. He'll just like have, he'll throw out something that's like crazy. Like, and that's kind of, that's how I do it sometimes, comedy, you know, I'll just throw out like something that's crazy. But we're like, what? And we both have similar personalities. It's fucking nuts. Both carry a black backpack. But anyway, well, how do you, anyway, but how do you describe genealogical bewilderment? Do you even believe in it? And how do you explain this to people?
That is a good question. I don't know that I've given it much thought just because I know my family. You know, I've always known, you know, who they are and everything, and we look like each other, and it's just, it's not been a thing for me. Then you've met your biological father. How did he come to find out that there was this pod out there?
Well, the person that the second cousin who told us his name went, asked him, like, listen, is this cool? Can I tell him? And he was like, all right. Let's do it.
Wow.
So we contacted him and he, you know, he thinks it's funny. He's like me. He thinks the whole thing's a hoot. He just, I mean, he's kind of like, I joke, like he's living the male fantasy. All he had to do is deposit sperm and he has kids to hang out with him 35 years later. Yeah. Like, like he has it awesome. He has it great and everyone is so cool. And he loves, he's like, you're all weird. And I love that. And that's,
Did he have children otherwise?
He has one who wants nothing to do with us, but that's
right.
Okay.
Right. It's that's sad.
Okay. I was in Japan because she's half Japanese and I did go to Japan in December. Kind of like as I always wanted to go to Japan, but my biological father's been there many times. He speaks Japanese. My new sister also has connections to Japan. She's not Japanese, but her husband was. And she said, so I went and I feel like I understand very well that, like I joked on stage in Japan, I did a show in Tokyo. I was like, yes, in classic Japanese fashion, my sister wants nothing to do with me. And they were like, ah! So I get why. They like to just kind of, yeah.
And that might change, you know, it might, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
I still have a half brother that doesn't really want to know me. Yeah, my mother's other son. You know, whatever. I want to know him, but, you know, we'll see.
Right.
Interestingly.
Sometimes it's like she's in the thick of.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's sometimes when you're in the thick of. Or life stuff, you know, if you're in the thick of some tough life stuff, you're just like, I can't have emotional space to do this, but like maybe another time.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about your stand-up, but I know you also do character work. Do you sort of relate that to sketch? Because sketch is like my favorite type of comedy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't feel like the characters are sketches, you know, on their own. It's like, I just don't have patience to deal with other people, so I just do it.
I think you're wise.
Yeah. Well, it's a bummer that Melania's been so behind the scenes and not around these days.
She is. Oh, what are you kidding me? I go to spa. I have no time for this. I say, you know how many times I have to smile in pictures? You know how many wrinkles I get? No more. Do not bring me in front of them. I don't care. I will not come out. No. Yeah, she's not. She has no luck. She's like, they're like, oh, I have to take care of all my attention is on my 17-year-old son. Like, have you met a 17-year-old who wants their mom around?
Yeah, exactly.
That kid.
That's right. She has time for that.
Talk about a mess, you know. You know what? He's a tall kid, so maybe, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe you're related to him, too.
Oh, God.
Maybe. Who knows? All the tall, random kids.
Oh, boy. So talk to us a little bit about your comedy. Where's the passion for comedy come from? And what is it like for you when you're on stage?
Well, I love really just bringing people together through laughter. And so I love being on stage and sort of bringing the room, you know, into one entity and being able to bring us on a journey a comedic journey. That's what my passion is.
Have you performed for like a full audience of people in the community?
I haven't.
This will be fun. Yeah, interesting news.
I have. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't even. It's fun. I'm just a little nervous because I'm like, I don't know the right word.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's going to be an interesting experience. But the way that the folks from Right to Know describe it, their conference last year was just like a level of like ease and comfort and everybody, because everybody, you know, you're not having to like break the ice with anybody because everybody's got their own fucked up story, you know?
Yeah. We're like united in drama.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
I love those family secrets.
Yeah.
Yep. Everyone's got them.
So now we were on your site, just kind of refreshing ourselves a little bit today, since we knew we were going to talk. And you identify as queer, but you're married to a cisgender male.
Yeah, dude. It's so fucking dumb. It's so dumb. Love is love.
As long as you like him, that's what matters.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing. He loves... He's a gem. He likes surfing, jiu-jitsu, and he goes to farmer's markets. Cool. And so I don't know where I found this guy. He like picked me up in his hybrid. he had this song playing and he's like, "Do you like this? I love this band." I'm like, "The Indigo Girls?" Like, yeah. And then we go to his house and he opens his garage and there's a photo of a poster of dolphins. And I was like, where did I find you?
Right.
He's a little lesbian. He's like, "Don't get home too late. I need from the show. I want to go to the farmer's market early before it gets crowded." I'm like, "Who are you?"
I already like him. Yeah.
Well, how do you two feel about kids?
We're not interested. We just have other things going on. We're just not into it. Although, I mean, he's got a lot of addiction on his side.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we're a little bit like...
Yeah, no.
Like a lot. It'd be 50-50. Oh, wow. The kid would be popping heroin.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So there's another thing. Well, this probably won't make me very popular. But anyway, there's a book called The Crumbling Genome, you know, and it says that sperm over 35 degrades in quality. So he's over that.
I don't know if you remember years ago, Tony Randall like fathered a child at 80. We need to find out what's going on with that.
Yeah, it's bad. That's why Baron, they keep him from view. And also, you know, and so I do this act now where I'm a preacher and I come on and it's my mission to tell people about your broken down sperm. "Sir, how old are you?" When it's like, "I'm 40. "Oh my God! His sperm needs swimmies."
You can call me out in the audience. I'm only 53, you know?
By castration.
Oh,
wow. Anyway, cause then that's, you know, maybe the assisted reproduction people might appreciate, because women are constantly shamed over 35. They use terms like expired and shaming for all everything wrong with children is because women over 35 are having kids.
Right.
So it's fun because as soon as the women realize what I'm doing and they go, they're like selling, they thank me after, because they're like, you know, even when they're 30, when they're 25, they feel it. They're like, because they feel like, oh my God. Yep.
Over the hill.
Yeah.
To back up just for a second, I really thought you were going to say, "He has a lot of cats."
Oh my God, that's funny. That's what I've been roasted before. Someone said about me, like, "You look like you have a lot of cats."
That's great.
Oh my goodness. I would if Corey would let me. Yeah.
We're down to two.
We're down to two.
two cats, wow. Five dogs.
Wow.
They're tiny. We have five little dogs.
You have a herd.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying no more dogs, and I keep saying no more cats, but yet he showed me a puppy this morning. I'm like,
yeah,
we got a lot going on right now. You know, yeah. I work from home 3 days a week, so I'm like, I'm here with these crazies, and it's like, I got to worry when I hear when they're loud, and I got to worry when they're quiet.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That is like having the kids.
Yeah. Oh, they get into some stuff. Yeah, for sure. Wow. Well, this has been a lot of fun. You're fantastic.
So fun. Yeah. Thank you, guys. It's
really looking forward to seeing what this convention is going to be like for everybody.
Yeah. Definitely. And anyone who, you know, the Misfit Variety Show is going to be in Denver. If you're there that Sunday, we're doing it Sunday night. And it should be fun. And that'll be the full show. And the full show, when I do the Misfit Variety Show, we bring together people from like very different experiences of being outside the box. So that can include donor conceived. It can include people in our community adoption, all of that. And it can, and also includes people who just like had a crazy life or, you know, had a unique family experience, whatever. So we bring everyone together.
That would be good.
Yeah. And I think Kendall's not, you're not leaving until Monday. So
yeah,
I think
I'll be there.
Go. Yeah.
Oh, I will come. Oh, for sure. Wow. Yeah.
Well, we so appreciate what you do because yes, the voices are growing, the voices are getting louder, but there are some people who respond to traditional activism, and then there are other people who are going to respond to what you're doing and becoming part of the community and becoming allies through humor. So thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah. Hey, of course. Thank you. I'm just trying to make people feel good and loved and accepted for whatever, however they came to us that day.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've always, you know, in our past, you know, Kendall and I have always been big supporters of our, you know, gay rights stuff. You know, we were both involved with the human rights campaign in San Francisco. And then now, you know, we're part of this community and it's just like, we love it. And as I think I mentioned it to someone the other day, like every time we have one of these conversations, it's like, we just made a new friend. And, you know, it's hard to make new friends when you're of a certain age, right?
Or if you come to my shows, because we have a pre-show. So we're all about making friends. So you can come to my shows. You go to Lauren Logi, LaurenLogi.com. And I have the Misfit Variety Show, which tours. And then I have a regular room in New York City called the Capiche Club. It's pretty fun.
Awesome. Next time we're there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, love New York City. So I was just there around the holidays with Kendall's half-sister, and it's her first time in the city, so and she loved it, so I know we'll be back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah! Would love to have you guys. Cool. Love Very to have cool. you. Let me know.
Very awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye. Okay, bye.
As we wrap up today's episode, it's pretty clear that Lauren's journey from genealogical bewilderment to a place of humor, acceptance, and connection is a testament to the strength of the human spirit. Her ability to laugh in the face of confusion and to build bridges through comedy is a reminder that our stories, no matter how convoluted, are the fabric of who we are. Thanks for joining us on this ride, and a huge thanks to Lauren for sharing her laughter and light with us all. The Family Twist Podcast features original music by Cosmic Afterthoughts and is presented by Savoir Faire Marketing Communications.